4:12. Ready? There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask for your power, for your liberty, an unction from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we will be as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal unless you help us and aid us. We don't have the wisdom, we don't have the power to do anything of a lasting nature. So this morning we cast ourselves upon thee, rely on thee and trust in thee to move in our midst and do that which you'd have done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I had prepared a sermon for this morning and one for tonight, and I'm still going to do tonight's tonight, but this morning's I'm not going to do this morning because I'm going to do this other thing. Because when we were having that singing last night, they sang a song, which I've heard I don't know how many times. I've listened to it over and over again. But it just happened to strike me last night as they sang it. And they were singing that little song, if Lord willing and the church don't rise. You know, and all my life I've grown up, I've heard that little saying, you know, Lord willing. My grandmother Hensley used to say, Lord willing, Lord willing, Lord of mercy, Lord willing. And people say, well, down south they say, Lord willing and the creeks don't rise. You know. Meaning, if I can make it and there's nothing that hinders me, this is what I'm going to do. And so I got to think about that when I sang that last night. Lord willing and the church don't rise. That is, if the rapture don't take place, this is what I'm going to do. And of course, here in James chapter 4 is where we get that saying from, the Lord willing, Lord willing. And he's saying, you, when you say, I'm going to go into such and such a town, and we're going to stay there a year, and I'm going to do this and this and this, you're boasting, see? You're saying, I've got this much life, and I've got this much time, and this is what I'm going to accomplish. Whereas you don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be alive this afternoon. So to presume that you'll be here for a year, and that you'll be able to do certain things, is to boast on something you have no control over and that you don't know about. He said all such boasting is vain. It's a sin. Now, he said what you ought to do is say, the Lord willing, we'll do so and so. Amen? You ought to put a little preface on it. Lord willing, I'm going to go into the city and set up this business and sell hamburgers and get rich. See? I'll get me 14 McDonald's franchises and Lord willing. Now, if I was buying franchises, it wouldn't be McDonald's, by the way. Amen. Krispy Kreme and Fats, that'd be the two I get, and Starbucks. You can't go wrong with them three. Anyway, but anytime you set out to an endeavor to do a thing, you ought to say, Lord willing. You need His blessing on it. Because without His blessing, you ain't going to make it. You may not live long enough to accomplish it. Circumstances might not be conducive to accomplish it. And so, anything in your life that you set out to do, you ought to start it with Lord willing. And of course, I like that, if the church don't rise. Just means, if the rapture don't come and God lets us, this is what I'm going to do. I've determined, I've purposed, that this is what I want to accomplish, this is what I want to do, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Now, so when I thought about that, I jotted down seven little things. It only took me a second or two. Quick as I am, I didn't have any problem at all. And I just jotted it right down, and I want to share what went on in my head while they sang that song. Number one, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to be at church. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, I like church. I enjoy church. I liked church before I got to be the preacher. Now, the only time I never liked church is when they had some guy couldn't preach. Lord have mercy. That can be the longest hour in the world. Some guy gets up there and stammers and stutters and doesn't know what he's going to say and doesn't know where he's going, and there's no point to it, no rhyme and no reason to it. I'm telling you, 45 minutes can seem like 8 or 9 hours. I have sat out there when I had a bad preacher and think, Lord, would you please shut his big mouth? Now, y'all don't have that problem. I always know where I'm going. Amen. But now, other than that, I've always liked church. And there's at least 3 good reasons that I like church. Amen. And there's 3 good reasons why I'm going to be here. Number one, I'm going to be here because God said to. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. God said you ought to go to church. Now, why would God think you ought to go to church? Because of what it cost Him. In Acts 20:28, you find out that God purchased the church with His own blood. Amen. And God commanded us to assemble. And so in obedience to the one who died on Calvary's cross to save you, you ought to be in God's house. Amen. And by the way, you ought to be in God's house at least 3 times a week. It said, obey them that have the rule over you in the faith. I didn't write that now. I believe that. I endorse that. I support it. It's one of my favorite verses. Obey them that have the rule over you in the faith. And the ones that run the church have decided we're going to have church 3 times a week. So if you're obedient to God, one, you'll be in church. 2, you'll be there 3 times because that's how we've ordained to do it. Amen. So you ought to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You ought to be in church, and I'm going to be there, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, because God said to. Amen. Amen. It cost God everything for the church. So I'm going to assemble with the saints of God at every opportunity. Secondly, I'm going to be at church because that's where I learn. That's where God has instituted that we be instructed and admonished, rebuked and corrected and taught. Amen. You come to church, you're supposed to be preached at. And sometimes that preaching is a joy, and we lift our hands and sing and shout and say, glory to God. You know, it's one of those hallelujah kind of messages, and that's the kind Baptists like. And sometimes the message is a scolding or a rebuke. Baptists don't like those kinds. Don't ever tell us we did anything wrong. Don't ever tell us we need to straighten our lives out. Don't ever tell us we ought not to go someplace. Don't ever tell us we ought not to do something. That's not what we want to hear. We want to hear how good we are and how wonderful we are. Amen. We want the preacher to tickle our ears with smooth words and nice phrases. Now, if that's what you want, there's a Baptist church about 5 miles down that way, and there's another church a couple miles down this way, and you need to go there, because you're in the wrong place this morning. Amen. Now, I like church because it's where God told me to be. I'm going to be in church because that's where I learn the Word of God. That's why we have 3 services a week. On Sunday morning, we have an evangelistic message most of the time, not always, but as a general rule, at least someplace in there, there's an effort made to stir your conscience regarding sin and draw somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes it's right at the end, but we try to get it in there. Amen. Then on Sunday night, we try to have something that's practical to help you live a Christian life, to encourage you or stir your mind or your imagination or scold you for things you're doing that you ought not to do. But everything on Sunday evening is directed to being a better Christian in this old sinless, godless world. Amen. A sinful world. I mean sinless, sinful, godless world. Then on Wednesday night, we try to teach you something. We got Brother Lewis. You going to be preaching this Wednesday night? You going to try it again? He's supposed to do it Wednesday night, but we're going to give him another shot at it. He's bringing a series on the King James Bible. The first two have been excellent. I'm looking forward to this next one. Even he told me, preacher, it's going to be good. And so if we got him convinced, I'm sure it'll be a blessing. Amen. So you'll be here when, and so we'll learn where your Bible came from and why you can trust it and why you can depend on what it says. And so Wednesday night, so church is where we learn. It's where we're rebuked and admonished. That's where we're praised and patted on the back. And that's where we're taught the Word of God. Amen? And so you ought to be there. Then thirdly, we want to be in the house of God. I'm going to be in the house of God. Lord willing, in the church don't rise. Because that's where I get all my Christian fellowship. You know, when I go to work tomorrow, I'm not going to have anything in common with anybody I work with. Now, I got a couple of folks there. One that goes to a Catholic church. One goes to a Presbyterian church. There's no evidence that either one of them are saved. They never want to talk about God. They never want to discuss the Bible. They don't have a conviction about anything in this world. Absolutely nothing. I got convictions about everything. I don't know who's playing football. I don't know who's winning at NASCAR. Amen. I got nothing I can talk to them folks about. They don't know anything about a Bible. They don't know anything about God. They're not interested in spiritual subjects. They don't know who the gospel music singers are. I could sit there and name 15 groups and they wouldn't know a single one. So I'm going to spend all next week as a stranger in a strange land. I'm going to be a pilgrim and a sojourner in a land that is barren and destitute of anything that cares about God. I'm going to have to wait till I get home tomorrow afternoon to talk to a Christian that's got any kind of testimony. Unless I run across Brother Lewis or something. Amen? So I come down here because at the church house, folks down here like God. They like to talk about the things of God. They like the singings and the revivals and the camp meetings and studying the Bible and singing the song. We get a blessing out of that stuff. And we share our burdens with each other and say, pray about this and pray about that. And we get together and go to dinner and have a good time and visit each other. Say, why? That's our crowd, the crowd that hangs out down here at this independent Baptist church. That's my kind of folk. And so I go to church. I'm going to be here, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. I'm going to be at church because God said to be, because I need to learn something, and it's where all my friends are. I hear people all the time saying, well, one of my unsaved friends, I don't have any unsaved friends. All my friends are saved. I have some unsaved acquaintances, people that I'm forced to deal with, because I have to work to make a living and you have to buy groceries and that kind of stuff. And I think you ought to be polite and cordial and all that to everybody. Amen. But all my friends, all them folks I'm going to spend time with, spend my money with and go places, they all saved. Amen. I just don't have, life's too short to have unsaved friends. I got enough problems living for God without that hindrance. Amen. Amen. All right, secondly. So first of all, Lord willing and the church don't rise, I'm going to be at church. Number two, Lord willing and the church don't rise, I'm going to give my money. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm a firm believer that when a thing gets your heart, it'll get your wallet. Amen. I love golf. Now, everybody that knows me knows that. I get to play it one day a week. Weather permitting, and I don't have the duty and all kind of other stuff. My wife will give me some money. One day a week, but now I look forward to it. I make a tee time on Monday for Saturday. I'm anticipating. I'm saying, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to be on the golf course come Saturday. Amen. Take my two grandsons and Brother Mark. We got a Christian foursome. More or less. Except for Seth. I love to play it. And so I spend my money. You can tell what a person loves, what they care about, by where they put their money. Amen. People say, well, you don't know my heart. You don't know what I love. I don't need to know your heart. They say, follow the money. You ever heard that expression? Follow the money. It reveals. It's a great identifier. Amen. Now listen. When you love something, you spend your money on it. I love my wife. She keeps me broke. She spent all day yesterday out looking for bling bling. Y'all know what bling bling is? That's an Afro-American slang term for jewelry. Flash. Amen. She spent the whole day looking for bling bling. She said, why? Because I gave her some money to go look for me. He said, why'd you do that? Because I love her. I like to do for her. It's the joy of my life. I've never given my wife one thing in 43 years of marriage that I've ever regretted or wished I hadn't done. As a matter of fact, I wish I could give her more. If I had more money, she'd have more. I tell her all the time, honey, if I was rich, you'd be the most spoiled woman on this planet. Amen. Amen. Now, I love God. I love God. I like golf. I love golf. And so golf gets my money. Golf gets some of my time. I love my wife. It gets a lot of my money and most of my time. I love God. God's going to get some of my money and some of my time. Amen? Don't tell me that how much you love God and you can't ever find time to go to church and He never want to give you money. You always resent it. Well, now I got to give this and I got to give that. And if I didn't have to pay that tithe, I could do so and so. I looked at how much I tithe one time, and boy, I could do a lot with that little bit of money. My wife knows how to stretch it. But boy, I just wonder what God would take away if I didn't give it. Say, why do you tithe? Well, for one reason, I'm afraid not to. God said, when you don't, you're robbing God. You are God rob. I tell you what, people that got the courage to rob God got guts to do anything. Amen. A fellow that would rob God, I wouldn't trust him about nothing. If you'd rob the Almighty, you rob your mama. Amen. So I'm going to give my money because God said to. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in mine house. I got a commandment from God to give. But I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy giving. I enjoy giving. I like this building. Y'all like this little church? It's a pretty nice little church. I mean, it ain't real fancy, but it ain't bad. It's comfortable. We got carpet on the floor. We got all kind of different lights and stuff. We got a great sound system. The heat and air conditioning works. It's a pretty nice church. I like it. Well, it wasn't free. It cost money. We bought this old ratty building, and there was a big old roll-up door right there, and there was a big old roll-up door right there, and there were five windows down that wall. And there wasn't any ceiling back here, and up there there was five or six offices. Little old squatty, nasty-looking thing. One bathroom, two bathrooms. And that was it. Man, we had to come in here and rip all that stuff. We just ripped it all out and started all over again. And the men of the church and some of the ladies, in 30 days, built this building like you see it. Come up here after work and work till 9:30 and 10 o'clock every night. Work all day on Saturday. And in a month, we put this thing together. Now, we had to put some finishing touches on it after, but we habitable in a month. Amen? We spent a ton of money down here. Had to have $6,000 for this air conditioning system. And then all that stuff in the sound system. And paid the parking lot $10,000. And awnings and... It takes money. Amen? Now, if you enjoy coming here, if you like the fellowship and the singing and the preaching, and you want to do it in a decent place, then you ought to cheerfully give your money so we can have this place and maintain it. Amen? Then, every now and then, we give money to missionaries or to people who have a need. That's always a blessing to your heart. Oh, Howie Hunter come by here the other day. He's a missionary to the Philippines. Now, Howie Hunter hasn't measured up to our expectations, and we took him off of our support list after about 5 or 6 years. We don't support him anymore. He is a good fella. He loves God. He just, in our opinion, not getting done on the mission field what we think he ought to get done. And we're responsible for God's money. So we're not giving it to him anymore. But some other people still love him, and they're still supporting him, and they still want him on the field. And so he's coming through here the other week. He needed a place to be on Wednesday evenings. You know what we did? We had him in. And we gave him a love offering. So you don't support him. No, but he's still a brother in the Lord. And we did like they did Paul. We helped him on his journey. Amen. Now you ought to feel good about that. Helping the cause of Jesus Christ. Helping God's people. Taking out of your pocket when you have it. To help somebody along the way. Listen, we don't have to be support everybody that we help. After all, we give money to folks that aren't even saved. If people come along, the Bible said, do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. Amen? And so, it ought to make you feel good to do something to help the cause of Christ and to help God's people. And that takes money. So I'm going to give mine. I'm not going to give it grudgingly. I'm not going to give it sparingly. I want to give my tithe and an offering above it. And then when circumstances arise in the church or out of the church, if I got it in my pocket, I'm going to give it. I always feel good doing that. But if I didn't feel good, I'd do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. Amen. And then I'm not going to sit around and whine and cry about it. Well, if I hadn't given this, I could do nonsense. You're better off to invest your money in the things of God. I guarantee you, the returns are eternal. Amen. Number three. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to live right. Now, I know that it's popular in churches, not just Baptists, but including Baptists, we have lowered the standards on what is acceptable Christian living. And Christians these days are living shacked up, committing adultery, fornicating, drinking, running around naked. You say, well, I just had on a short and a tank top. You naked. You naked. You understand what I said? I said, you're naked. You ought to cover your nakedness. Amen. You ought to be modest in what you wear. Oh, I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry about that. It just bothers me deeply that you don't like that. But we're not going to change it. That's the way it is anyway. Amen. You ought to dress right and you ought to live right. And so the Lord willing and the church don't rise, I'm going to live right. I've got one wife, and by the grace of God, I'm going to keep her, and I'm going to be faithful and true. I'm going to be honest in my business dealing. I'm not taking advantage of anybody. I'm not going to malign anybody. I'm not going to slander anybody. I'm not going to steal from anybody. I want to be moral and honest and ethical in all my dealings. I want to live right. I want to live righteously. I want to live godly in this present evil world. Amen. I don't care how the other churches change their standards and their conviction. We're not changing now. We ain't changed them in 32 years. We're not going to change them now. You don't look for it down the road. Ain't going to happen. We've been preaching the same thing as long as I've been in the pulpit. And by the grace of the living God, we're going to preach on that same stuff until the day that we die. Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Number four, Lord willing, the church don't rise. I'm going to stand for God. Now, some of you say, well, living right is standing for God. No, it's not. Living right has to do with your personal relationship between you and the Lord. Standing for the Lord is me standing against the enemies of God. That puts me on God's side, but in opposition to those that oppose Him. Amen? Now, for the most part, the church has capitulated. We just gave in. Most Christians, in reality, aren't standing for anything anymore. They have their own personal beliefs, and they're going to live right. They're not going to do this or that or the other. They're not going to drink, smoke, chew, and run around with girls that do. I mean, they're going to have a pretty... You know, they're saved, and they love the Lord, but they don't want to take a stand in this old world. I'll give you some examples. It is so easy to take a stand, but it is at the same time so easy not to. Now, suppose I'm sitting at the table, lunch table, and where I work, they have a break room. And guys come back there, and they eat their bologna sandwich and drink their Pepsi Cola, you know. Actually, I'm the only one with a bologna sandwich. Everybody else goes to McDonald's and Hardee's and that stuff, but I can't afford that. I have to eat that. Anyway, we're back there, have lunch. And drinking comes up. And somebody says, well, what do you think? Now, I usually don't wait for the invitation. I usually take the lead. Amen. I said, well, you know, I have my beliefs and you have yours. Different strokes for different folks. You gutless worm. Why didn't you take a stand? Why didn't you say, it's a sin? The Bible said, look not upon the wine when it moveth itself aright, when it giveth its color in the cup. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Amen? Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How come you didn't take a stand? You had a perfect opportunity to stand for God, stand for the Word of God, stand for the truth, and give somebody something that'll help them, and you chickened out and said, well, you know, it's up to everybody. Has to make up their own mind. Now, there's some things you don't want to ask me about if you don't want to know what me and the Bible believe. Don't ask me about abortion. I do not have a neutral position. It's murder. You got that? Don't ask me what I think about alternate lifestyles. They're devious. They're perverts. You got that? It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'm here to tell you. See? The Bible's got a position, and I've got God's position on it. And I'm going to stand for that. I'm not going to take a stand or duck a stand when an issue arises and say, well, it's up to everybody. It just depends on how you look at it, you know. Well, you got your opinion and I got mine. No, sir. That Bible said that thing is wrong. That means it's wrong. It said God was against it. That means that I'm against it. I've got a definite position and a definite conviction. And by the grace of God, Lord willing, and the church don't riot, I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe that Bible said. And you can like it, lump it, thump it, hump it, dump it, or jump it, son. Amen and amen. Amen. Tired of yelling Christians. I'm going to stand for God. Number 5. Oh, I got to hurry. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to be a witness for Him. Amen? I'll be a witness for Jesus Christ. We got a new girl in our office here a couple months ago, and I've had a good time. Now, all the old folks have been there a while know me, and I can't get a word out of them, buddy. I mean, they won't bring up nothing. It is like I have got the plague. But this new girl is still pretty dumb. She ain't figured it all out yet. And she's still saying stuff. But I have noticed lately that it's getting fewer and fewer, farther and farther between. Pretty soon she'll join the ranks of the others, I'm sure. So I got to pray for somebody to get fired so we can get the fresh blood, you know. And I really hate doing that, but I want to be a witness. Now people say, well, preacher, my life is a witness. Oh, phooey. Let me tell you something. People say, well, you know, I don't drink and smoke and I dress right and we don't go here and we don't go there and I don't cuss and we're good people. And thank God for that. I would rather live beside a moral, righteous, lost person than an immoral, unrighteous, lost person. Amen? Thank God for any good you can find. But if you think that living a good life is going to be a witness for you and get folks saved, you're out of your mind. There are a lot of old people that are good and lost. And they don't lead anybody to God. I guarantee you can find men and women that have lived good lives. They're not drunks. They're not harlots and all that stuff. And people say, oh, Mr. Jones over here is the finest fellow you ever met. Well, who did he get to Jesus with that? The same number you're going to get. None. Now, what that good life does, as far as the world is concerned, that does a whole different thing with God. See? But that good, clean, exemplary life, as far as the world is concerned, all it does is gives you something they can't argue against. If you live a wicked life, then they can say, oh, well, he's supposed to be a Christian, look at this. He's got that in his life, and he does this. See, if you live the good life, they don't have that thing to argue against. You don't give them a place to blaspheme. You don't give them something to use against you. Amen. So the good, clean life is useful in that sense. But if that's all you have, you don't have much. You got to talk to them.
The Bible said, and they that believe shall not be ashamed. David said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Paul said, we also have believed, therefore we do speak. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God wants an open mouth. God wants a verbal witness. Thank God that you live right. That way when you talk about Jesus Christ, they can't find anything to condemn you for. And that's an advantage and that's a plus. But if you don't bring up God and death and hell and sin and righteousness and salvation, they will die without Jesus Christ and they will spend eternity in hell. I don't care how good your life was. They're not going to infer Christianity and want it simply because they see you don't drink, smoke, and chew. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I just try to live an example in front of them. Thank God you're supposed to do that. Then open your mouth and use that advantage you got for the glory of God and lead somebody to Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I want to be a witness. I want to bring it up. I want to find somebody every now and then and say, have you ever considered where you're going when you die? Are you a Christian? I like going out to prison and talk to them guys, you know. I was a question from the Lord. And He said, I'm going to ask you a question, and you got to give the right answer. You get it wrong, you go to hell. You get it right, you get to come in. Amen? They said, okay. I said, here's the question. If you died and stepped up into glory, and the Lord said, give me one reason, and one reason only, why I ought to let you into glory, what would you say? Now, that's a pretty simple question. Every saved person knows the answer. And no unsaved people know it. So I asked the question. I had about 25, 30 black guys there, and I asked them. They don't know. They didn't know what to tell God if they had to look at Him face to face and give Him one reason why He ought to let them into heaven. Some of y'all look like y'all don't know. Worries me. Amen? I want to be a witness. I want to talk about God. I want to get folks saved. I want to see lives get changed. I want to see old drunks get sober. I want to see old harlots get pure. Amen. I want to see old thieves get honest. I want to see people make restitution. I want to see people have tears flow down their face over the shame and regret of their sin. I want to see joy and life in their eyes and a smile on their face when they realize they're saved by God's grace and on their way to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you want to see folks get saved? Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to shout and sing. I'm tired of a bunch of dead-headed Baptists. Well, if you think us Baptists are dead, you ought to try some of them Methodist and Presbyterians. Glory to God. We look like the fountain of life. And we're pathetic. Man, we used to go to Baptist camp meeting, people would sing and shout. People would sing and shout and cry all at the same time. Just have a time. Used to go to a singing or something, boy, and people would be shouting and having a good old time. I've seen them run out the side door and run around the building just to let off steam, you know. Come back in a few minutes, old shirt soaking wet, shirt tail hanging out, sweat dripping off their brow, all wore out. So what happened? Man, they just got happy. Well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know. You don't believe in nothing. You don't believe in nothing. You just want to sit there like this, you know. Expect God to get through that concrete wall and do something for you. How about helping Him out a little bit? What's wrong with enjoying your salvation? In the Bible, buddy, they had big old choirs and big old orchestras, and they beat on the cymbals and the drums and the psalteries and the harps and the trumpets and all that stuff and blew them trumpets, and they sang and carried on, had a big old time. I mean, sometimes they shout so loud the walls fall down. Amen? So they're doing what? Praising God. Having a good old time. I know, y'all are all college educated, aren't you?
I hate education. Not literally. I'm all for education. There's just some things about education I hate. For one thing, it makes you proud. You get too stuck on yourself to be real. You get real analytical in your head. You've got to weigh everything and figure it out and know all the parts and how it works. Hey, stupid, how about you relaxing every now and then? Just let God do something. Don't worry about why it happened. Just let it happen, amen? I remember when I was at the camp meeting, this was a blessing in my soul. I've told this story before, but I just love it. We've been about 3 or 4 days, and the first day it was kind of dead and dry, you know. But if you've ever been to a camp meeting, it loosens up as time goes along, boy. And let me tell two stories real quick. There's a fellow sitting right on the end of the pew, right in front of us. And the first day he was sitting there, he had his coat and his tie on, he was sitting there like this. But by the time the meeting was over, I could tell he was getting antsy. Well, the next day, the same fellow sitting right in front of my wife and I, and he had his jacket off. And he was just, you could see him bobbing and weaving. He was going with the, and he was having a good time. Well, the next day he came in there and he had that coat and he had it in his hand, he had it down here. And that guy's up there preaching, they're saying that old boy is rocking that coat back and forth. He's just getting looser and looser by the day. The next day we come in, that boy sat right in front of me and my wife again. He had that coat off, he had his tie loosened up, he had that coat hanging over and he was waving it like this before it ever started. I told my wife, I said, "Daisy, that's going to watch him." I said, "You're going to go." Man, they sung there about 25 or 30 minutes and had a couple of testimonies. And had this one missionary lady get up and tell a testimony about selling her house and how God, I mean, it was really a touching thing. And then she got up and sung a song. I can't remember the song, but I'm telling you what, that boy come loose. I don't know what went off in that little boy, but something broke. He had that jacket up like this, like that, and he was standing up and he was rocking. He said, "What in the world's that got to do?" Ain't got nothing to do with nothing except he was full of God on the inside and it had to find its way out somewhere. Oh boy, messed around that man. He threw that coat in the air and down around that building he went. We didn't see about 15 minutes. He come back in there and go, he just wore out. So people say, "Well, I just don't think that's got nothing to do with it. You're too stupid to breathe." That's got everything to do with religion. You don't need to sling the coat or run the base or any of that other stuff to be spiritual. You don't. But I'm here to tell you, when your heart gets filled overflowing, it's like one time I'm preaching in a black church up in Mississippi. And I had about 5 or 6 older black ladies, elderly black ladies, and about 25 young people, and one old black gentleman. And they had a like an old tobacco shed for what they was using for church. And it had a little old box up there, and they took a white linen thing and put on top of it, and they had a Sunday school quarterly on 2 Thessalonians. Didn't even have a Bible. And every Sunday, that little old black fellow would read and do a Sunday school lesson out of that Sunday school quarterly. And he would go by and pick up them black ladies and all them little kids. Well, somebody invited me down there to preach. Now, you talk about feeling bad. I drove up driving a Lincoln Continental. I had on a brand new suit, and I had a $2,000 diamond ring on that finger. And these folks ain't seen $2,000 in a year. I turned my ring around so they couldn't see it. I was hoping all the starch would run out of my shirt so it would look old and wrinkled. I mean, you feel bad. I mean, the Lord just got all over me. I went in there, and they wanted to hear me preach. I got up there, and I started preaching. And I preached about 15 minutes, and I hear this noise, and I look over there, and here's about 4 or 5 old black ladies, and tears are just running down their eyes, and they're snipping. I thought something was wrong. I'm a white guy from a Baptist church. We don't do that. And I hadn't said nothing sad. I'd been talking about God. So I stopped and I said, "Man," I said, "is something wrong?" She said, "Oh no, preacher." I said, "Just don't take much for us cutter folks to overshed." Oh man, I tell you what, God got in that meeting. I had myself a time. I had 9 little black girls get saved that morning. I love that stuff. All this emotionless Christianity. No joy, no sadness, no tears in our eyes, no shout in our voice. There's something wrong with that. Amen? I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, the Lord willing and the church don't rise, I'm going to sing and shout all the way home to glory. I ain't going to let a bunch of deadheads like you take the shout out of me and take the joy out of my church and take the joy out of my priest. I ain't going to do it. I'm going to live for God and I'm going to enjoy every doggone minute of it, buddy. I'm going to sing and shout if I got to do it by myself, and if I have to sing by myself, y'all are going to be a miserable bunch of folks.
Y'all hear me sing, you best God, I'll perk you up. I can't carry a tune. I can't remember the words. Amen. Some days I ride around my truck and I'll get a song on my mind of which I know maybe one line or five or six words, and I would just sing it over and over and over again. I'm just like a black guy, man. I can do them repetitions and never get weary. Say, why? Because once I sung it, I forget it. And I have to start all over again. Right? I just can't keep that stuff in my head. I can keep a lot of different things in here, but music just ain't one of them. But I like it. I sing. Y'all hear me, my truck boy? I sing. You don't want to hear it, but I'm singing. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I think God likes it. Amen? I was sitting at a red light here a couple of days ago, and I had one of them up-tempo things on my mind, and I was sitting there humming it and singing it to myself, and I was sitting at a red light, and I was bouncing around with the music. You know, I was probably out of time, but nobody knew that but me. I didn't have and this guy pulled up on the other side, and he's going, I want to go. but I didn't. I didn't want to ruin my testimony, but I wanted to. I'm going to sing and shout, amen? I don't want to be no dead, dried-up Christian. I don't want to be lifeless and cold like a piece of stale toast or a dry cracker from yesterday. I want some life, and I don't have to wait till I get home to glory to enjoy being saved. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to sing and shout and have myself a good time all the way to the celestial city. Number 7, we'll go to dinner. Now, y'all can see I had a good time last night singing. That's where I got that, sitting there on that pew. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I'm going to wait for Him. I'm going to look for Him. I'm going to long for Him. When I was a little boy, my grandmother Hensley was a Christian lady. And one of the godliest ladies I've ever known. If she ever did any sin, I don't know anything about it. And if you know anything about it, you keep it to yourself. Now, I know that she did because she's human and all that, but boy, when I was growing up, she was sanctified as far as I was concerned. I believe Grandma Hensley could get a prayer through about any time. I remember when we lived in a little house up in Bethlehem City, I walked down the hall at night and go to my bedroom. She stayed in this room for a while. She lived with us for a while. She stayed in this bedroom, and my bedroom was right over here. And I walked by that door, and I could hear her in there praying. I peeked through the keyhole. I seen that old woman up in her 70s at that time, down on her knees, praying every night. Last time I remember seeing her live, she lived in a little house up there in Bessemer City. And I came by to visit her. I was in the Navy, and I walked up on the steps, and she's sitting in the living room. She had one of the great big old overstuffed wing chair things they used to do, you know. And she's sitting in that thing, and she's got the lamp on, and she's got one of them large print family Bibles. She's got her little spectacles on, and she's got a magnifying glass about that big around. And she's sitting there doing like this, reading that Bible. She's 83 years old. I made an impression on her. Well, Christianity wasn't just Sunday morning with her. It was all the time. It was everywhere. Never drank, never smoked, never been to a dance, didn't cut her hair. She's weird. Boy, I had a respect for her. I had a respect for her. Amen? And you look at her face, and it wasn't all wrinkled and stuff like the folks been living out here and seeing. She had a different kind of complexion. Okay? And she always told me, she said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Lord, man, that's been years and years. I've been hearing that all my life. And He ain't here yet. But you know something? I'm on grandmother's side. I believe He's coming. I'm not going to give it up. I have this blessed hope
the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? And Jesus didn't lie. He doesn't lie. God is not a man that He should lie. He said He was going, and He said He was coming. So I'm going to wait on Him. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, I am not going to give up my hope. I am not going to give up my expectation of the soon return of my Lord and Savior. He loved me enough to come. He loved me enough to die. He loved me enough to be raised from the dead. And He loved me enough to give me a promise to sustain me and be a goad in my side and give me something to fix my hope on. And He promised to come. I believe He loved me enough to come back and get me. So whether they put me in the ground or whether they take me in the air, I will not, by the grace of God, Lord willing, and the church don't rise.
As I look around and see the world getting more wicked and my body becoming more frail, the more excited I am about Jesus Christ showing up. Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, it's a blessing to our heart to have hope and assurance founded in this old book that Jesus is coming. Give us patience to wait. Give us a heart to hope. Give us a burden to long for that blessed day. Keep us faithful until then. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, help us to be what we ought to be for this old sinful world. In Jesus' name.